We turn in sacred scripture to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We begin reading at verse 23 and read through the end of the chapter. The text this afternoon is verses 36 through 43. We will not reread that section. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 23. This is, we're picking it up right after Paul, Saul, has been converted, regenerated, on the road to Damascus. We read in verse 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him, to kill Paul. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him, which, when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. And, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now begin the words of the text. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed. And turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. So far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. May God place his blessing upon the reading of that word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, a confession of faith is a special occasion. It is a special occasion because at a confession of faith, a person confesses that he or she is a disciple of Jesus Christ. When Courtney made confession of faith, that's what she was saying. Yes, Courtney made vows, important and weighty vows, indeed the most important vows she will make in her entire life. But at the heart of it, what Courtney also did in her confession of faith was simply say this. She was a disciple. She is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, that raises the question, what is a disciple? What is a disciple of Jesus Christ? Well, it's not hard to figure that out because the word disciple is used fairly often throughout the New Testament. And in a number of verses, Jesus speaks very directly about what a disciple is. For example, in John 8, verse 31, we read this. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." A disciple is one who continues in Jesus' word. He believes the scriptures and walks in the way of Christ's commandments. A little later on in John 13, verse 35, Jesus says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." A disciple is one who loves the congregation of Jesus Christ. And still in the book of John, later on, in John 15, verse 8, Jesus says this, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." And there we learn that a disciple is one who bears much fruit. He, she, lives a life filled with good works, which are the fruit of the Holy Spirit in her. There are other passages as well. Some of these passages are very pointed. In Luke 14, verse 36, Jesus says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Those are very strong and pointed words, and Jesus repeats that idea multiple times throughout the Gospels. But we don't just learn what disciple is from these verses. We also learn what discipleship is from the examples of those in the Bible who are called disciples. And that's what we have before us this afternoon. At the beginning of verse 36 of Acts chapter 9, we read, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha." Tabitha was a disciple. And not only was Tabitha a disciple, but Tabitha is a very beautiful example to us of what discipleship looks like. Tabitha is a beautiful example of what it means to be a woman after God's own heart. To be a woman who continued in Jesus' word, a woman who loved God's people, and a woman whose life was full of good works. John 8, John 13, John 15. She's an example for all who confess faith in Jesus Christ. And so what we want to do this afternoon is look at who Tabitha was, and look especially at who she was as a disciple of Jesus. Because Courtney's a disciple of Jesus. She's just made confession of her faith. She's just said she's a disciple of Christ. And Tabitha's a disciple. And so we want to look at the beautiful example of Tabitha and that example of discipleship in her and apply it to Courtney and to all of us so that we know what discipleship looks like and how we must live as those who've made confession of faith. We take as our theme this afternoon the beautiful Tabitha. We look at that theme under 3 points. First, we look at who she was. Second, we look at her resurrection. And third, we look at the purpose. Who was Tabitha? We can start out by looking at the first half of verse 36. "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha," which by interpretation is called Dorcas. So first of all, Tabitha was a disciple from the town of Joppa. Joppa was a city about 35 miles northeast of Jerusalem. It was a city right on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, and it was a seaport. It had a harbor, and it was busy. It had ships coming in and going out all the time. Joppa was a city that originally belonged to the tribe of Dan, and it's a city we come across a few times in the Old Testament. For example, when King Solomon was building his temple, the temple of God, and when he was building his palace, we read that the cedar trees from Lebanon that were used as the timbers to build these buildings passed through the harbor of Joppa as they made their way from Lebanon to Jerusalem. Also during the days of King Solomon, Joppa was the harbor where all the gold and silver and all of Solomon's fascinating imports came through. Apes and peacocks and other interesting things. And the little children might also remember that when Jonah tried to run away from the commandment of God and avoid going to Nineveh, where did Jonah go? He went to the city of Joppa, boarded a ship, heading to Spain. Joppa was a maritime city. It had boats going out and coming in each day. Now, if you remember, after Pentecost, after Acts chapter 2, Christians were heavily persecuted. We read that upon the stoning of Stephen, there was a great persecution that arose against the church. And many disciples fled from Jerusalem to the surrounding area to find safety. Joppa would have been one of these towns that the persecuted saints fled to. So in Joppa, there would have been a small congregation of disciples. Acts 8 verse 40 also tells us how Joppa might have had a small Christian church. In Acts 8 verse 40 we read, "But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea." Well, Joppa just happens to be right in the middle between Azotus and Caesarea. So as Philip passed through that area, no doubt he would have preached in the city of Joppa. Whether Tabitha was converted from Judaism to Christianity under the preaching of Philip, or whether Tabitha was converted through some other instruction, we cannot be sure. But the point is, there was a small group of believers in Joppa, a small infant church of which Tabitha was a member. This is also what we read in Acts 9, verse 31. "Then had all the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, and were multiplied." Joppa was one of those churches. In that city of Joppa, in that church, Tabitha was a disciple. And here's where we can revisit the question, what is a disciple? When we speak of discipleship, we usually think of three things. First, a disciple is one who sits at the feet of Jesus and learns from Jesus. A disciple, literally, is a pupil or an apprentice. A disciple is a student who learns at the feet of Jesus. We are all pupils, students in the church. Second, a disciple is one who follows Jesus. He goes where Jesus goes. He believes in Jesus. He clings to Jesus alone as his Lord and Savior. And third, a disciple is one who imitates Jesus. He follows Jesus' example, not just following in Jesus' footsteps, but lives as Jesus lived and according to Jesus' instruction. A disciple is a disciple by God's irresistible grace alone. We are not disciples of Jesus naturally. In fact, the opposite is the case. It's not because of any decision we've made to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. No, it's because of God's irresistible grace that overcomes our depravity and our resistance, and it's according to his eternal decree of election. To be a disciple requires a new birth that transforms us by God's grace into the very image of Jesus Christ. This is who Tabitha was as a disciple. This is who Courtney confessed herself to be, a regenerated child of God. About Tabitha, we read that she has another name, the name Dorcas. The name Tabitha was her Jewish name, or her Aramaic name. The name Dorcas was her Greek name. Both these names actually mean the same. They mean gazelle, or like the animal, like a deer, a gazelle. And children, why would parents name their daughter Gazelle after a deer? Because a gazelle is a very beautiful and graceful animal. Think about it. In the book of Proverbs and in the book of Song of Solomon, the deer, the roe, is a picture of something that is beautiful and graceful. To put it in English, maybe Tabitha's name today would be the name Grace or the name Belle or Bella. Her name means beautiful. That's what her name means, beautiful. A gazelle, beautiful, graceful. That's also why the theme for the sermon this afternoon is what it is, the beautiful Tabitha, because that's what her name means, beautiful. And it certainly was fitting for Tabitha, because however physically beautiful she was, spiritually, Tabitha was a beautiful woman. That's what we read in the second half of verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And the word alms deeds simply means mercy deeds, acts of mercy. In verse 39, we come across another description of Tabitha and what she did. In verse 39, we read, "Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them." From these descriptions, we learn that Tabitha was a disciple, not only in name, but much more in deed. To understand what Tabitha was doing, we should understand a little bit more about that city of Joppa. As I already said, Joppa was a city on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. As a result, many of the men of this city would have been sailors. And the sad reality about sailors in these days was that many of them perished in the Mediterranean Sea. They would get caught in the storms of the Mediterranean Sea. Their boats would break apart, they would become shipwrecked, and they would drown. Think about the storm Jonah went through. Think about all of Paul's shipwrecks on the Mediterranean Sea. It was a common thing for sailors to die on the open sea at this time. And so the city of Joppa was probably a city that had more than the usual number of widows and orphans. Widows and orphans whose husbands and fathers had drowned in the sea. These widows probably would have gone out to the shore of the sea every day, standing on the edge of the harbor of Joppa, staring out into the waters, wondering when their husbands would be coming back from the sea, waiting and waiting, but never ever receiving their husbands back on the shore, never receiving them into their arms again because they died out at sea. And with no husband, no father earning a living for the family, widows were often very, very poor. Perhaps they could earn enough money to provide their own bread, their own food, but they couldn't earn enough money to buy any clothes. And so what Tabitha did was this. She went to work with needle and thread, sewing garments for these widows. In verse 39, the word coats refers to what one would wear right against his skin, the undergarments. And the word garments in verse 39 would refer to the overcoat, the coat you would wear over top. The work that Tabitha did for these poor widows would have been tedious work, working hard with her hands. Her days would have been spent sewing garments, perhaps washing and repairing old garments, mending them, fitting them, and fitting them for the widows for whom they would be made. I can imagine Tabitha sitting at her sewing machine with her thread in her hand, busy working to provide a new coat or a new shirt for one of the widows in the church. Maybe even working by candlelight in order to have a new garment ready the next day for one of the widows in the church. In fact, when I think of this description of Tabitha in Acts chapter 9, I can't help but think of the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. What does King Lemuel's mother teach Lemuel about the virtuous woman? This is what we read in Proverbs 31, verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. That's what Tabitha did. She sought out clothing and willingly worked with her hands. And then in Proverbs 31, verses 18 through 20, we read, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. She makes good quality material, and she knows it. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. That's exactly who Tabitha was. And it doesn't appear that Tabitha was married, just a single woman in the church, looking out for the needs of others, serving others in the church. In fact, Tabitha could have been a widow herself. It doesn't seem that she has any family in the scripture as it's recorded for us. A widow, maybe with perhaps a little bit more money than the other widows in church. Not only did Tabitha sew new garments for the widows in her congregation, but she did it with love. Each garment she made was stitched with threads of love. Each seam was clothed with kind thoughts. Each coat was hemmed with sympathy. And we know that by the reaction of these widows at the time of Tabitha's death. Just look at them. Peter comes from Lydda, and they want to make sure that Peter knows just how much Tabitha loved these women and served them and took care of them. These women are not ashamed to show Peter how poor they are or how they needed help from someone else. No, they make a point of it. They are glad to show Peter the compassion and love Tabitha had towards them. These widows are not just weeping because now they don't have someone to make their clothes for them. They are weeping because they deeply loved Tabitha and missed her love and care for them. When I think of Tabitha, I think of the language that Paul uses in 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul is giving instruction for how the members of the local church ought to behave. And in verses 9 and 10, Paul writes, "In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works." That was Tabitha. Her life was a life adorned with good works. No, Tabitha was not some strong leader like Deborah during the days of the judges. Tabitha was no poet like Hannah was, who sang that beautiful song. Tabitha was no Salome, who was raising up sons who could be pressed into the service of the Lord. But in her own way, with the gifts and abilities that God had given her, Tabitha quietly served for the good of her church. Tabitha did nothing spectacular, but she did what she could. Hers happened to be the worthwhile service of the needle and thread. And the reason we consider her this afternoon is because she's a beautiful example of discipleship. Courtney could do no better than to take Tabitha as her example of discipleship. Not that Courtney would have to serve in just the same way Tabitha served. That's not necessary. But the heart of Tabitha is the heart of a disciple of Jesus Christ. And all the women of the church and all the people of the church ought to hold Tabitha in high regard. She's a woman zealous of good works. She's a woman loving God's people. A woman living out what true discipleship and true religion looks like. This is what discipleship looks like. Just think of other examples in the Bible. Think of Job. What do we know about Job? We read in Job 31, verse 20, that Job was one who made a point of caring for the poor. He says, if anyone was lacking, he would make sure to supply their every need. That was Job. Think of what James writes in the book of James. And the book of James is interesting because the book of James was written at this time. It's probably the earliest book in the New Testament written. And it's written at a time when Jewish Christians were being scattered throughout the land. And what does James write in James 1, verse 27? He writes, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world." What does James write in James 2? He says, "If a brother or sister be naked, without clothes, and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" And so James says, he follows it up by saying, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." James' whole point is this. This is what true faith looks like. This is what discipleship looks like if you are a believer. It looks like activity, caring for others, showing compassion, serving others, figuring out, meditating on how you can be a blessing to others in the church. Think of what Jesus says in Matthew 25. He says, "This is what the righteous do who will enter heaven." He says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you before from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. And to the wicked, Jesus will say, I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they say unto him, they shall answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee anhungered, or athirst, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, truly, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these widows in the congregation at Joppa, ye did it not to me. Well, that cannot be said of Tabitha. Tabitha is an example of discipleship and true religion. But don't just think of what Jesus said. Think of what Jesus did. And don't just think of how Jesus showed compassion on the multitude of people who were sick and in need. Think about Jesus' work on the cross. Because what did Jesus do on the cross? There on the cross, Jesus permitted himself to be robbed of his own clothes. Jesus permitted himself to be hanged naked and exposed on the cross. Not merely in order to die for our sins, but exactly so that we might be given new clothes. The white robes of righteousness. We who were the needy, who were the poor, who were the naked and the exposed before God. And Jesus knit together white robes of righteousness for us on the cross of Calvary. How much more so shouldn't we be glad to give our lives, our gifts, for the profit of others? What Tabitha was doing was only the outworking of Jesus Christ living in her. And Tabitha also embraced the words of Jesus, where Jesus said, And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, only because they say they're a disciple, and you give them a cold water because they say they're a Christian and you help them. Verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Not pursuing the things of this world, but even thinking about the reward that's coming to me in eternity. That's why I do it. Tabitha loved the disciples of Jesus, the poor and the needy in the church. And what she did as a response to what Jesus had done for her soul. If Jesus had so clothed her with the righteousness of God, then certainly she can serve Jesus by caring for the needy members of his body and clothe his body. What she did out of a true and living faith as a member of the body of Jesus. And notice too, Tabitha did this in her own town. She didn't have to travel far away to people she didn't even know to do good. No, but in her own town, in her own congregation, the widows and the afflicted and the suffering right here, she was certainly watching to see where there was need and where she could supply that which was lacking with the gifts that God had blessed her with. And away from the limelight, she labored diligently to help the needy in her little corner in the church at Joppa. We could well ask, is that what characterizes us as members of this congregation? Not looking at others, looking at myself. Where's there a need? Where is there an opportunity to serve right here in this church as a disciple of Jesus Christ, to bless others, truly serve, to freely give myself even to tedious work, and to give my gifts to those who will never be able to pay me back? Maybe they're even too modest to ask. Is there discipleship like that among us, beloved? Is there a discipleship like that among the young men and the young women and the young people here in the local congregation? there's a need for this, beloved. A need for practical acts of kindness. We can even say, congregation, this is the measure of greatness in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. A person may make a beautiful confession of Jesus as his Savior, but if he's not full of good works, his confession can even be labeled as a fraud. Well, there's more that we read about concerning Tabitha in the text. We read about her resurrection. In the middle of all her labors, caring for the poor, giving of herself, Tabitha suddenly becomes sick and dies. We don't know how long she was sick or what she died of, just simply that she became sick and died. There must have been great grief in the church over her death. In those days, funerals happened very quickly, even the same day that a person died. Think of Jesus. We read that Tabitha's body was washed, and the people laid her in an upper room. The disciples knew that Peter was in the neighboring town of Lydda, about 10 miles away, and so they send two men asking Peter to come quickly to Joppa. It's hard to know what the intention of the saints at Joppa was in fetching Peter. Commentators are inclined to say that these disciples fetched Peter in the hope of having him perform this miracle that he performs, of raising Tabitha from the dead. Oh, of that we can't be sure. Raising someone from the dead is a pretty significant miracle. It only happens a few times, even in the New Testament. But there were other reasons also to ask Peter to come to Joppa, namely to soften the grief of the people, to comfort God's people with comforting words from Scripture, and to help that small, fledgling, infant church at a very vulnerable time. And so Peter goes to Joppa. When Peter arrives in Joppa, the people bring him into the room where Tabitha's body is lying. And you can even picture it kind of like a funeral visitation. Many of you children here have been to a funeral. Think of it this way. Peter, think of it even happening here at church. Peter coming in through the doors in the back of church in the narthex, and there is the casket of Tabitha open in the back corner of church. And there's a row of chairs beside the casket, and sitting on those chairs are all the widows that Tabitha cared for and made clothes for. And Peter walks in. He finally gets there, and the widows get up, and they all pull their plastic bags from under their chairs. They open them up, and they pull out all the garments that Tabitha had made for them while she was still living. And there's lots of crying, you can imagine. Well, we don't even have to imagine. They were weeping. Maybe as these church members talk with Paul, they share their fond stories of Tabitha with Paul. Oh yes, I even remember that day when I looked out my window and I could see Tabitha walking down the street with a smile, a beaming smile on her face, a parcel under her arm, bringing a new sweater or a new dress to one of the widows in the church. She was always thinking about others in the church. And they all tell Peter how much Tabitha meant to them and means to them. After a while, Peter dismisses the people from the room, just as he had seen Jesus do in Jesus' earthly ministry when Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. So Peter does. He sends everyone out of the room. He wants to be alone with God in prayer. And we read in verse 40, "But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed." He prayed. Peter didn't know how God was going to answer his prayer, what God was going to do. And yet Peter had unflinching faith in the power of the risen Lord Jesus, and with the understanding of how this church was hurting badly and what she needed and what would be a blessing to her, Peter prayed. Prayed. And turning him to the body, said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she had never seen him before, she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave his hand to her, acting chivalrous, and he lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive. And this is the greatest miracle that Peter performs in his life, raising someone from the dead. And there's a great significance to this miracle of raising Tabitha from the dead. A few things. First, the resurrection of Tabitha from the dead is a picture of what has happened to all the disciples of Jesus Christ. We've all, as disciples of Christ, have been raised from the dead, spiritually. That too was part of Courtney's confession of faith. She has been raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's what explains the fact that she's a believer. No one can see the kingdom of God, let alone enter the kingdom of God, without being born again, raised from spiritual death. Tabitha's resurrection from the dead is a picture of spiritual resurrection from the dead. Second, the resurrection of Tabitha from the dead is a picture not only of what has happened, but what will happen to the disciples of Jesus Christ. For they will rise again from physical death to physical life at the time of Jesus' second coming. Yes, we know that all men will be raised from the dead, but some will be raised to everlasting death in hell. That's the language of the Bible. Those who are not the disciples of Jesus, who refuse to believe in Jesus, they will be raised to everlasting death as the just reward and punishment for all their sins. And some will be raised to everlasting life in heavenly glory. These are the disciples of Jesus. These are the ones who have had their sins covered in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. They are the ones for whom Jesus purchased the white robes of righteousness, which he sewed together with his own sufferings and death on the cross. And they will enjoy eternal life in glory with Jesus and God. That's also the hope that's in Courtney's heart, and the hope of all the disciples of Jesus Christ. And third, the resurrection of Tabitha from the dead was also Jesus' stamp of approval upon the work that Tabitha had done in caring for the poor. In a certain sense, we could say that Tabitha's physical resurrection from the dead was a reward that she received for all the good works she had done. In fact, that too is how it will be for us at Christ's second coming. What does Jesus say in Revelation 22, verse 12? He says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." We will all experience that in the final resurrection from the dead, and our reward will be according to how we lived as disciples on the earth. And in a sense, Tabitha experienced that already in this miracle of her resurrection from the dead. Her resurrection from the dead was Jesus' own stamp of approval on how she had been living her life, caring for the poor. And we could put it this way, she was raised from the dead exactly so that she could continue living that life full of good works to the glory of God. God was well pleased with that. She honored God with her life, and God, in this small way, honored Tabitha. But there was also a purpose God had in mind with Tabitha's resurrection, a larger purpose than just Tabitha. And that purpose was this, that through this miracle, many more disciples might be made. We read in verse 42, "And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." Tabitha, with her good works of sewing and knitting with thread and needle, was used in a mighty way to cause the church there at Joppa to grow by leaps and bounds. That's striking. The fact of Tabitha's resurrection was spread abroad. Through it, the gospel itself was graphically proclaimed, resurrection from the dead for those who believe in Jesus Christ. There is salvation from sin. There is a Savior from death and from the grave and from hell. His name is Jesus. Only in the name of Jesus, the Christ, is there salvation from the dead. He is the risen and ascended Savior. Only in Him is there salvation. And many believed and were made disciples of Jesus. And of course, the result was also this. Those many in the church at Joppa who were already disciples of Jesus were not a little comforted and strengthened in their faith. God comforted the poor and all the members of the church at Joppa through Tabitha. Her work certainly did follow her. Their faith was strengthened, as they received Tabitha once again as a blessing to their lives. And no doubt, what did Tabitha do when she was restored back to life again? She continued living that life of good works, because that's exactly what disciples do. It's exactly what our lives are for. This is why Jesus has made us disciples, that we might be zealous of good works. No other purpose than that. No other purpose than that we might perform good works. And what an encouragement this must have been for this infant fledgling congregation at a time when they were still feeling the struggles and trials of persecution. How will Courtney's life be full of good works? How will Courtney's life be a blessing from God for the other members of this church of believers? How will the Lord use Courtney here? I suppose only the Lord knows. But what a blessing to a church whose members are full of these good works. To have members who are disciples of Jesus Christ, not only in word, but in deed, just as Tabitha was. What an encouragement to us in all our struggles as we walk together as fellow pilgrims on our sojourn, disciples serving one another, caring for each other. What a blessing to have men and women together, children, boys and girls, who are spiritually beautiful as beautiful Tabitha. So may it be in the lives of the rising generation. Amen. Let us pray. Father, these events in the Bible stir our hearts. Such beautiful examples of love for Thee and discipleship. This is what we want, Father. Work it in us by Thy Spirit and grace. May we count it a privilege and an honor to reflect not just Tabitha, beautiful Tabitha, but to reflect and imitate beautiful Jesus, our Lord and Master. Receive our praise and bless this preaching to our hearts and lives. Strengthen us in our vows. And may we rejoice in living the life of good works Thou hast called us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.